yet. Physically saw it moving, Bob. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. First Corinthians 16. You know, it's amazing. I started out in Corinthians about the same time I started out in Samuel. It's got 31 chapters, and we'll end up on the same week, both books. I don't know how I did that. We missed some services because of weather, and we were traveling and stuff like that. But we're going to end up on a 16-chapter book the same week we end up on a 31-chapter book. I don't know how we did that, but we did. We're doing it. So we'll finish up 1 Samuel this week, too. Good Lord willing. Okay? Back to the chapter 16, verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality to Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now I will come to you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, in winter with you, that you may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is open to me, and there are many adversaries. Now, if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he works the work of the Lord as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come to you with the brethren. But his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it was the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you submit yourselves unto such, and every one that helps with us and labors. I'm glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunus and Achaeus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord, with the church that is in their house. All of the brethren greet you. Greet you one another with a holy kiss. The salutation of me, Paul, with my own hand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now let's go back to the first and start over and let's get the understanding of this. We know that this book was written to the who? To the first fruits. It was written to the people at Corinth. And Corinth means what? Saturated, satiated, or saturated, filled. We're talking to the ones that are filled with the love of God and the knowledge of God. That's who Paul's talking to. It's the first fruit. Now, it says in Ephesians that we were chosen in Him when? Before the foundation of the world. So it says He writes in your heart. He places it within you. He makes all the choices, correct? Okay, so who is he talking about? First fruit. So he did it all and he put it in there. We can't brag and say, well, I've got a lot of stuff in me. I'm better than you. I'm filled. Well, the only reason you're filled is because God filled you up. True or false? See? We can't brag what God has done on the part that we've done it ourselves. We can say, I'm glad that God did it, but I can't brag on it because I'd have to brag on God. Because did I do it? No, I didn't do it. Neither can you. God does what He wants, and just be thankful you're in the place that He's put you. I think Paul told us to be, to be comfortable where you're at, to be accept where you're at. I'm trying to think of the verse exactly. I can't pull it out. Whatever lot you're in, be content therewith. That's what it says. Okay. Now, concerning the collection of the saints. Now, this word is wrong here. Now, concerning the collection for, the word for is the word eis. It means into. To or into. Now, concerning the collection to the saints or into the saints. Right? Just as I have instituted, not given order, but instituted in the churches of Galatia, you do also. He's saying, what I did in the churches of Galatia, I want you to do the same things. And he's going to explain what it was. Upon the first day of the week, wrong words. It should say, upon mia. The word first there is the Greek word mia, means one. Upon one of the weeks, no, upon one of the Sabbaths. The word week here is sabbaton. Upon one of the Sabbaths, let every one of you lay by himself in store or in reserve. So it means that I should lay something back in reserve. He's not talking about bringing it to the churches right now. He's not talking about a tithe. See, the church world preaches this. This is tithes you're supposed to bring and give to the church. He says, let every one of you lay by himself in reserve. That means you should have something in reserve to do what? To give to the saints that need, to the people that are in need. It's not talking about tithes. He said, whatever, lay in reserve, whatever God has what? Prospered him, or whatever success you have. If you happen to be a farmer and raise corn, then lay some corn back that you can give somebody to eat. If you're a sheep farmer, then lay a sheep back. If you're raising chickens, lay a chicken back for somebody, you know. Whatever you do, whatever type of work you do, that's what you should provide for someone else. He didn't tell you to go out and try to raise corn for everybody or wheat if you make shoes. Well, make a pair of shoes for somebody and put it back to give to them. Does that make sense to you? Whatever God has placed you in, that's where your expertise is, and that's what you should use. You shouldn't try to be like somebody else down the street. You know, I'm a teacher. In this ministry, I don't say this is Dave's ministry. There's all kinds of people from California to Canada and Nebraska and Oklahoma and Texas and all over the place that is helping this ministry run. There's people in Florida. There's people all over that is not just sending money, but they're putting their own efforts in what they can do. Our webman is taking care of our website. It doesn't cost us a dime, does it? He pays for everything. Come on, I can't do that. I don't want to learn his job. I want to do what God taught me to do. I'm preaching. Computer people do the computers. Somebody else take care of something else. That's not my job. See, everyone's got a job and a place, and that's where you should work in. Don't try to meet someone else's standard. Don't try to prove yourself to be as good as Joe Blow down the street. Forget about it. Do what God has given to you. If everybody tried to be the hand, where's the feet? See? And Paul taught about that. We all got to do what God has given us. And just like I read this to you a while ago about the Sabbath rest. If God tells you to rest, what should you do? Sit down and rest. Don't care what everybody else says around you. I've had preachers saying to me, well, I think you ought to do something, even if it's wrong, just do something. Oh, really? And so help me. In this county, they said, you need to do something all the time, every day, even if it's wrong. That's stupid. Because I know when you make mistakes, it's harder to do it the second time than it was the first time. Just wait and do it right the first time. See? If they want to believe that stuff, go ahead, but I know it's not God. He said to enter into his rest, that's what I'm going to do. If he wants me to do something, he'll tell me when to do it. And that's a wonderful thing when everyone gets a hold of this. The book says you are not your own. You were bought with a price. So if you're not your own, you were bought with a price. Can anybody tell me which preacher bought you? No preacher bought us, did they? I'm a preacher, but I still say, I don't own nobody. I don't own myself, because I'm in that same category with everybody else. He bought me with a price. So you know who I listen to? Him. I listen to God. And whatever he says, I'm going to do it. I don't care what anybody else thinks about me. Doesn't make any difference, because what my Father wants, I'm not just saying words. I'll do whatever he says. And I think most people know me know I'll just pretty well do what I say I'm going to do, because that's the way he made me. I love him so much. He's changed my life so much, and what he's done in my life, I can't repay, and all I can do is obey. There's no way I can repay what he's given me. All I can do is just obey him. And that's all he said he wanted anyway. So we can let that go. Okay. So it's not about the tithe here in this second verse. And he said the reason he doesn't want you to, he wants you to do this is so there would be no gatherings. And literally the word says in the Thayer's, it says it's for a collection or a contribution of monies when I come. So he's saying when I have come to town, I don't want everybody to run around at the last minute and try to gather up and do some of that hypocritical work at the last minute when the preacher shows up. See, this isn't about trying to impress somebody on this earth, is it? It's about doing what God said. Don't worry about what anybody else says. Take care of what God tells you to do. What God tells me, I'm quite as sure he don't tell anybody else around here. Do you hear me? He tells me to do things he don't tell you to do. And he'll tell you to do things he don't tell me to do. And if we all do what we're told, guess what it's all going to do? It's all going to work to good for God. See, it's for his glory. It's not about us. It's about him. So don't try to compare yourself to anybody else. Just do what Father wants you to do. In verse 3 it says, and when I come or appear, whomsoever you shall approve through your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality to Jerusalem. And that word liberality is nowhere near being correct. The word there is charis. It's grace. He said, so you can bring your grace. I will send to bring your grace to Jerusalem. Now the word grace doesn't mean God's riches at Christ's expense, like everyone says. Grace is the divine influence in your heart. Now what does the word divine mean? It's God. It's God's influence in your heart, inside, internally, and a reflection of that internal working coming to the surface. True? So he said, I want to take this grace that God has worked in your heart and it's came to the surface, and what has been produced in you, I want to take that to Jerusalem. You know what? You know what seed produces? Like kind. When you take grace and give it to someone else, you know what it's going to produce for you? A harvest of more grace. It's the only way it can work. If you plant corn, you're not going to reap beans, are you? If you sow grace into someone's life, guess what you're going to receive? Grace. Someone asked me, I've been asked a few times about this, well, where's all the people that you're doing such a great work? I said, whoever said I was doing a great work? I say this, it doesn't make any difference if I ever see fruit from the seeds that I sow. It says God is the one that gives the increase. I'm just a seed sower. I'm the errand boy, like I read in that little paper a while ago. I'll do whatever he tells me to do. And if I do that, how much more reward could I get if I did something else? Nothing. I get no reward out of it. I can only get rewarded in obeying him. So I don't even care. I'm not interested in that. And you know what? If we look at Jesus, most of the church realm today would say he was a failure because he didn't have very many people following him when it got down to it, did he? But he did plant the seed and it did grow. And he said, if it be suitable that I go also, they shall go with me. Now I come to you when I shall pass through Macedonia. Macedonia literally means the extended land. As you go through all these things, he said, when I go through Macedonia, and he said, I do pass through. He said, I'm passing through. We all go through that extended land. What would we call an extended land? What would be a good word, biblical word for it? Extended land. What would be a good word? It's very prevalent in the book. Good word. Desert. See, everyone does go through the desert. Bob, like you said earlier, if we don't have those trials, are we going to change? If we don't go through the desert, are you going to change? Yeah, I guarantee you, you're not going to change. It's not easy, but it does bring about the peaceable righteousness of God in your life. Okay. Verse 7. Six. And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that you aid me on my journey. Not may, but that you aid me on my journey, whithersoever I go. Now, why would I say the word may isn't there? May is a maybe. May is a might. If I say I may help you, does that mean I'm definitely going to help you? See? Does God say any maybes? God says I'm going to do it. It's a done deal. Correct? Huh? He says I will. He's not said I might. He says I will. So when we see these words that speak doubt into your life, the King James is full of these doubtful words when it says that you might have eternal life. No, he didn't die that I might have eternal life. He died that I have eternal life, correct? So we got to watch these words and we read them, because if you read these words and you don't omit these added words that the translators have put in here, do you know what you're speaking into your mind? Yeah. Doubt and unbelief. A man snared by the words of his mouth. And when I read with my eyes, I'm still speaking. Did you know that? When you read something, you're speaking to what? To your mind, to yourself. And you're feeding your mind this doubt and unbelief. So be careful when you read this to take those doubtful words out of them, because they're not in the language anyway. They're added in. All you have to do is look in the language. You'll see that they're definitely added words. God didn't speak doubt. Okay. Verse 7 now. Can I go there? Yeah. Because I will not see you now in the way, or in the roadway, or the course of the thing. But I expect to tarry a while with you. What's the next word say? Next four words. If the Lord permit. You know, he said something in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. He said, we'll go on beyond these elementary teachings. If God permit. So see, we really can't do these things without God's permission. Can we? Can I choose to be a third day person, a first fruit person? Whose choice is it? God's. See, we can't boast about anything. He put us where He wants us. Paul said in Corinthians, He has placed every member in the body where it pleases Him. Then what did I have to do with it? See? If we learn this and be content with whatever lot we're in, how much easier is our life? I saw a man this morning who was, he's an older man, he's retired, and he was in so much stress because he's going into a test tomorrow for colonoscopy. And he's afraid he's got cancer. Just scared to death. My God, he's supposed to be a Christian man. He says he is, and there was so much stress on him that I guarantee you, you can live for years with colon cancer. There's people that live 15, 20 years after colon cancer, and they don't even do surgery on them. And they live for years and years and years and die of old age before the cancer can get to them. But if this man keeps worried like that, you know, the cancer will never have a chance to get to him if he has cancer. The stress will kill him before the cancer ever has a chance. See? Fear and insecurity. They don't really trust God, do they? The book says that it is appointed unto man once to die. Everyone in this world has died, is going to die before they get out, aren't they? So what are we concerned about? How we go? See, we should not worry about those things. All we should be worried about is being obedient to what God has asked us to do. The only thing we got to worry about. Shouldn't even worry about that, just do it. He said, but I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost. Ephesus means what? Permitted. He said, I'll stay there until I'm permitted. See, I'm going to stay there as long as until I'm permitted to get out of it. He said, until Pentecost. And what does Pentecost say? It's speaking of Jubilee till the restoration. He said, I'll stay in the place of permit. I'll be wherever I'm permitted until Jubilee is what it's really saying. Pentecost represents the 50th day after Passover, which is 50. The number 50 represents Jubilee. The restoration of what? All things. Isn't that amazing? The church world can't see that. That it's a restoration of all things. It's all through the book. All they have to do is see that 50 days after Passover is Pentecost. And 50 represents Jubilee, the restitution of all things. All in shadow and type. Okay. He said, verse 9, because a great door and what? The word effectual here is the word activity. It should mean activity. A great door of activity is open to me, and many, and there be what? He said, there's a great door and activity is opened to me, and many what? The word adversary is not correct. He literally should say this, there are many that oppose me. See, it's not talking about a plurality of adversaries because there is only one adversary in our life. What is it? The carnal mind. So there is no plurality of adversaries. There's one adversary for each one of us. It's our mind. When we deal with that adversary, the rest of them have no authority in their life. He said, now if Timothy comes, see to it that he be with you without fear. And see, there's a word may be in there. See that he be with you. Not that he may be with you, but that he be with you without fear, because he works the work of the Lord as I also do, and literally the language says, as me. He works the same as me. Let no man therefore despise him, but send him forth in peace, that he not may come, but that he come to me, because I expect him with the brethren. See, they got all them doubtful words in there. They just don't work. Now, at verse 12, as touching or concerning our brother Apollos, I greatly encouraged him to come to you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when opportunity arises, is what it should say. When opportunity arises, he'll come. Now he goes on and tells you this, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Literally, it means, this word stand fast means to persevere in the faith. Then this next passage of words here, quit you like men. Does anyone understand that? Quit you like men. Literally, it said, you act manly in this. The word quit, that's King James stuff. I mean, there's no explanation for that. It's just King James. That should be enough for you. But it said, watch and persevere in the faith and act like a man and be strong. That's what he's telling these other men that he's dealing with. Be strong. That God is within you, should say, but it says with you. How many times does it say the Lord is with you in the Scriptures? A lot of times. But the language is mistranslated. And it gives the context that he's hanging out with you. You know what I mean? Where is God? He's within you, not with you. He's within you. So he's not hanging out with you. You're hanging out with him. See, they got it the other way around. We're hanging out with him. I hate the way that that's, the wording is. And you know, some people, if you touch a word, they get all upset, but I can't help it. I can't not say the truth, what I know. Verse 14, let all your things be done in what? Now let me say this again. The word things here, do you know what that word thing means? Huh? It should say this. Let all that you do be done in love. Whatever you do, there's only one way to do it. How's that? If you're sweeping a floor, sweep it because you love to do it for who you're doing it for. If you do it and you're complaining and murmuring, you think you're going to get a reward out of it? Don't think so. But do it out of love, everything that you do. He said, I encourage you, brethren, not beseech you, but I encourage you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas. Stephanas means crowned or first fruit. That's who he's talking about. That it is the first fruits of Asia. Okay? Achaia, literally, the first fruits, the house of Stephanas, the first fruit, is the first fruit of Achaia. And what does that word mean? Trouble. When you come to first fruits, you know what's going to happen? Trouble! Anybody want to line up and sign up for that list? You don't have to. You got it coming anyway. If God permits you to go there, you're going to get the trouble. Don't worry about it. And they have addicted, or literally, the word addicted isn't really very good because it literally says they have devoted themselves to the, not ministry, but to the service of the saints. He said, Stephanas, that's the first fruit. They have addicted themselves or devoted themselves to the, not ministry, but the service of the saints. What did Jesus come for? He come to serve, not to be served. That's what's wrong with the ministry today. The ministries think that everybody is supposed to take care of the preachers. And you know why they believe that? Because they're told that. This book says that we are given as ministry, we are gifts. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, we're a gift. Said he gave gifts unto humanity. I'm a gift. See, I'm a gift that's given to humanity to help them. I'm not here to take from humanity. But most of the preachers, they're out here just for a reason. It's a job to them. Sad, but it's true. Verse 16, that you not submit yourselves, okay, but it should say, but you obey such, okay? The word such here is denoting a character of the people like Stephanas, the house of Stephanas. They're crowned people. They have the glory of God in their lives, their first fruit. He said that you should obey those people. Now, we're not talking about somebody controlling you. When we talk about submission, we're not talking about someone dominating your life and telling you what to do. I don't believe in it for a minute. I don't like it, and neither does anyone else, do they? Anybody like in here like someone telling you how to live your life? I don't. You know why? Because it's none of their business how you live your life. You live your life the way God has given it to you. People have talked about a person. Let's just go back to the Old Testament. Get this old nasty guy that everybody talks about as a bad guy called Pharaoh. Did he have a choice? He did what God told him. You know what? He was more obedient than most church folk. He done all the nasty things God told him to do, didn't he? God hardened his heart and he did it. So if you're obedient in the positive or the negative, whether it be the good or the evil, what difference does it make? Just think about that. Good and evil come from the same tree anyway, so think about that. Okay. But submit yourselves to ones with those kind that they're denoting the character of those ones. And to everyone that cooperates with us and works hard. I'm glad over the arrival of Stephanas, the crowned ones, and Fortunus, the fortunate ones, and Achaeus, the ones that's in trouble, because that which was lacking, or the deficit, or the poverty of these that was lacking on your part, or of yours, they have supplied. So Paul said, what you didn't give into my life that I needed, these other people did. See, God always has a way to supply for his people. What he says in Luke. No. There's positives. They're positives. They're doing great things in the kingdom. He's using them as examples of doing great work of God. He's commending these people as great men and women of God. And he says, look at verse 18. Because they have refreshed my spirit and yours. That's not a negative. That's a positive. therefore acknowledge you. You said you acknowledge them that are what? The word that are such should say that are of this character. So acknowledge the ones that have this character, that have are refreshing people and helping and encouraging and lifting up, not condemning and putting guilt on everybody. Okay? Sure. That's what the church is about. The gathering of the saints is about. I mean, we get to talk about God, but it's the encouraging. See? When we come together, if you are out there in the desert by yourself as a child of God, never talk to another person. Tell me what goes on in your mind. Man, there's a war in there, Armageddon going on in your head. But if you can come together and find out, hey, I'm not the only one going through. I'm not crazy. Everybody else is going through the same thing. What did that just do for you? What did it do for you, Sammy? Does it encourage you to know that someone else is going through it? I'm not the only one out here doing it. See, when you get isolated away from the body of Christ, tell me what happens. Just like if you got a flock of sheep and one of the sheep get out there, what happens to that one? The wolf gets it. See, we're not talking about somebody coming on, but it's this. See, up here. You couldn't talk to her. Yeah. It took a half hour, 45 minutes to get her on the realm where you could even talk to her. She couldn't even hear. I mean, she was just rambling about things. And Lois couldn't talk to her. Finally, Lois just said, here. And handed me the phone, and I talked to her for 45 minutes before I could get her on a plane where I could talk. And then after about another hour and a half, and this was long distance, cross country, and the time we got through talking about an hour and a half, 2 hours more to her, got her back to the world where she was supposed to be. You know, her mind was back in into the plane where it should be, and she understood. Man, she said, how did I get out there? And I said,
well, like you were saying earlier about the extended
plane, mm-hmm. That's where we get that. That's where she was at. She was out there in that extended land. And after a few hours of encouraging and encouraging and encouraging, she was back. Life came back. If you put some water in the desert, you know what will happen? Something will bloom. There's seeds all over that desert out there, and you get a rain, and there's things pop up everywhere. You ever been out in the desert after a rain? Things will start to grow. They don't live very long unless they get some more water, though. They got to get the source of water to continue to keep growing. But there's all kinds of things out in that desert if you go look at them. All kinds of life. But most people drive through a desert and see no life. There's a lot of it out there. But they refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are of this character. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila. What's that mean? Huh? Yeah, it talks about two things. A tent maker and an eagle. There's two meanings in that word. A tent maker and an eagle. Well, Aquila is one. That's what it means, tent maker and eagle both. That word right there has two meanings in it. No. He's talking about the churches of Asia salute you, and that's the called out ones are saluting, and that means greeting or making a salutation. They're giving a commendation to these people as being great servants of God. They recognize their service to God through the saints, to the saints. But Aquila and Priscilla, now Priscilla means ancient, the older one, they salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house, with the called out ones that's in their house. Now, I know that at that time they did meet in a house, you know, a home group, because it was illegal for them to meet any other way. They could die by even claiming to be, quote, Christians. Yeah. Now you're cursed if you're in the other way. Yeah. All the brethren welcome you and greet you, or welcome you one another with a holy kiss. He said, all the brethren welcome you. You welcome one another with a holy kiss. Now, there's something that just irritates the church world. That if someone would greet them and give them a kiss on the cheek. I'm serious. The church world has teetotally shoved that away. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing saying that you have to do that. But what does the word kiss imply?
Greeting of my brother.
Okay, something else. What'd you say? Intimacy. A kiss speaks of intimacy. So when you greet someone in intimacy, it does not mean that you have to kiss and slobber on someone. That's not what it's saying. But what it means is be intimate with somebody. Huh? I'm smooth, right? No. What he's trying to convey to us is this. Be intimate with somebody. To be intimate with someone in a greeting is not just by saying, hey, how you doing, brother? Glad to meet you. See you next week. Is that intimate? How about sitting down, let's talk about what's going on in your life? What is that? See, that's intimacy. That's greeting someone with a kiss. Becoming intimate in their life so you understand when someone's hurting, you can hurt with them. When they're happy, you can be happy with them. See, that's being intimate with someone. It's not kissing someone on the cheek in the external way. We're talking about having an internal intimacy. Okay? That's what he's trying to say. We should greet everyone with a kiss or with an intimacy. So we have this intimacy, we have relationship. And you know God's all for relationship. He's for relationship. He wants us to have one with Him and with everybody else too. The salutation or the greeting, and the root word of it is the welcome again, just like I said before, the intimacy, greet the salutation of me, Paul, with my own hand. Now, Paul doesn't say that very many times, that he wrote something with his own hand, does he? And you know, I thought about it. I keep thinking about things. I can't help it. My mind works that way. When something's said, I got to think about it. He said he didn't write much of his own writings. You know, Jesus never wrote any of his writings, did he? Who did it? Well, there were scribes. They had people called scribes. Yeah, Paul, a lot of stuff was, Luke wrote a lot of his stuff, and there could have been others that wrote some of that stuff too, not sure. But most of the men of God didn't do their own writings. No, I don't do mine either. That's not an excuse, I just saw a parallel with it, okay? I'm just voicing the parallel to it. If the man of God or the woman of God who God is using as a vessel to pour things out, if they're spending their time with God to have this understanding, you don't have time to do the other stuff. Everyone has their place in the body to do something to help assist it go where it has to go. Right? So everybody does their own thing. And it all goes together the way he wants it. If any man love not the Lord, now this word here is not agape. It's phileo. If you don't like the Lord, Jesus Christ, what's some bad news? He didn't even say you had to love Him. He said if you don't even like Him. Okay? If you don't even like the Lord, let Him be what? Literally it says excommunicated. It says anathema, and then maranatha. Maranatha is another word. Those two words aren't the same word together. It's two different meanings there, two different separate words. And it literally says this, let them be excommunicated from the presence. Let them be excommunicated from the presence, or cut away or separated from the presence. Yeah, he said, let them be separated. If they don't love God, let them be separated. See, if they don't love God, let them be separated. Just like he said, if the ignorant want to be ignorant, let them be ignorant. Leave them alone. Don't try to force your view on anybody. Don't try to make somebody do what you think they should do because it would be better than what they think. Leave them alone and let them do what God has for them to do. Huh? You better believe it. He'll take care of all that. Huh? Right? Verse 23 goes on to say, the grace, and that's that divine influence again, the God's influence in our hearts, and a reflection of that, of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see the grace of God in His life, and He said, let that be what? The word therewith is in the midst of. It's the Greek word meta. It means in the midst of you. So let the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be in the midst of you. If the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is within you, tell me what's going to happen. They can't help but see it. Sooner or later, they're going to see it. You know why? Because if it's in you, grace is a reflection out of you. of what's within you. That's all it is. So if the grace of Jesus Christ is in you, it's got to be seen sooner or later. Huh? You're just a conductor, bringing it through. Verse 24, he said, "My love be with you all in Christ Jesus." Now here, this word love, guess what it is? It's agape. So he didn't miss the other word. He knew what he was saying, didn't he? Here he says, "My agape be in the midst of you all in Christ." Amen. He's saying, let my love, my agape, my unconditional love be in the midst of you in Christ. Now he says, all of my love be in the midst of you all in Christ. That's one of them catches, isn't it? We got to be where? Not him in me, but me or you in him. There's the key. Because when they're looking at Christ in you, who are they seeing? You. When they're looking at you in Christ, they see the Christ before they can see you. And then they lose all sight of anything else. They can see the Christ. Any questions?
Yep.
Okay.
Apollos.
Mm-hmm.
Does an Apollos go back to the Greek mystery religion?
The name comes from that. But it was something, what's the word mean? Something of God.
Isn't that a pagan?
The name
pagan
came from that. But
he
was, wait a minute, the word Apollos came from mythology, yes, in a pagan belief, but how many of the men and women of God came from paganism? How many of us came from paganism? See, we all did. But we're transferred into this kingdom and something changes. See, our nature and character changes.
The word our brother denotes a relationship.
Sure, we had a relationship. We were all pagans at one time or another. See, but we've changed that. Just because God changed.
What do you mean in